from WILL's Illinois Newsroom. This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Thursday, June 24th. Coming up, environmental groups have been fighting for years to have toxic coal ash removed from retention ponds near the Middle Fork of the Vermilion River. Now, it may finally be happening. That story in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Some Democrats in the Illinois Senate are beginning to push for allowing non-citizens to vote in local school board elections. While the idea isn't ready for prime time, it was introduced in tandem with the recent passage of a measure creating an elected Chicago school board. Derek Cantu has more.
The proposal calls for the State Board of Education to distribute separate voter registration forms for non-citizen voters. But Numia Willman of Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot's office says because the form would require the person to list their residence, it could lead to non-citizen voters being deported if not properly advised by an immigration attorney, a service that's cost prohibitive for many.
For those who do participate, there would be no room for error. Voting in an election where one is not eligible not only carries consequences in the state's justice system, but can result in serious ramifications to one's immigration options.
Other supporters voiced concern that the proposal does not specify foreign language assistance procedures and would only be limited to non-citizens who are parents. In Chicago, non-citizens already have the right to vote in elections for local school councils, some of which pick a school's principal, but others only serve as advisory bodies. I'm Derek Cantu.
When schools in Illinois reopen for the new school year, they'll still have to take precautions against the coronavirus. Jay Morrow is superintendent of the United Township High School District in East Moline. And with classes starting in only about 5 weeks in his district, he's trying to be patient, waiting for guidelines from the Illinois Department of Public Health.
Basically, we need guidance from the Illinois Department of Public Health, what the guidance is going to be in terms of contact tracing, face masks or face coverings, as well as spacing in congregate settings for such as cafeterias. So how are we going to set up the lunchroom?
The social distance rule for Illinois schools has been reduced from at least 6 feet between students to 3 feet. But currently, if someone tests positive for COVID or shows symptoms, contact tracing has to include all those who came within 6 feet. Morrow says that poses real problems for schools. Over the course of 7 or 8 class periods, the infected student could come in close contact with 40 to 50 others, not to mention possible contact in the hallways and cafeteria. Illinois could become the first state to require the teaching of Asian American history in public schools if Governor Pritzker signs legislation passed by state lawmakers earlier this month. Illinois Newsroom student journalist Vivian Law has more.
Backers of the TEACH Act say its goal is to create a better understanding of American history and to tackle hate and discrimination. Illinois House co-sponsor Jennifer Gong Gershowitz says it's dangerous to leave out the history of underrepresented groups.
What fills that void are harmful stereotypes. And I think the best way to combat ignorance is with knowledge and education.
She and State Senate co-sponsor Rob Villivallum say that not learning about this history robs Asian Americans of their sense of identity. State Senator Villivallum says he's proud of the younger generation that has advocated for the TEACH Act and for their inclusion in today's conversations about race. I'm Vivian Law, Illinois Newsroom.
Champaign-Urbana public health officials reported nearly 250 doses of COVID-19 vaccines were administered on Tuesday. Well over 96,000 people have been fully vaccinated for COVID-19 in Champaign County. That accounts for more than 52% of the county's vaccine-eligible population. County officials reported 2 new cases of COVID-19 yesterday. The number of active cases dropped slightly to 55. 5 county residents are hospitalized with the virus, down 1 from Tuesday. Still to come, we'll learn about an agreement for Dynegy to remove toxic coal ash from retention ponds near the Middle Fork of the Vermilion River. My conversation with Andrew Rain of Prairie Rivers Network is next on 217 Today. IllinoisNewsroom.org is your source for news about education, the environment, health, politics, and more from WILL. Now you can receive our stories directly in your inbox. Sign up for our weekly newsletter at IllinoisNewsroom.org. For stories you can't find anywhere else in Central Illinois, another service from WILL, your source for quality, trusted journalism. This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Now an update on coal ash ponds near the Middle Fork of the Vermilion River. Tuesday, Illinois Attorney General Kwame Raoul and Vermilion County State's Attorney Jacqueline Lacey announced they were suing Dynegy Midwest Generation over the disposal of coal ash at the shuttered Vermilion Power Station. Later that day, Raul and Lacey announced they filed a motion to enter an agreed interim order with Dynegy. That order requires the company to develop a safety emergency response plan for the site, among other things. I spoke with Andrew Rain about these developments. He's the water resources engineer for Prairie Rivers Network in Champaign, one of the groups that's been working to force Dynegy to clean up this site. Rain says the biggest win for environmental groups is that Dynegy has agreed to move the coal ash from its current location near the Middle Fork.
Dynegy is saying, all right, we'll move the ash. And this is the first time we've gotten them anywhere close to saying that. So in that way, it is a really big win. It is an important step. We're getting pointed in the right direction. We're making big progress. And it's going to be about making sure that the steps along the way get followed in the right way, and we keep moving the ship in that direction. So part of that interim order included the safety plan, included monitoring the riverbank, preparing a plan for temporary stabilization if they need to deploy that, preparing a groundwater trench to start capturing leachate that might be going into the river, that is growing into the river, and starting to dewater the ash, which is where you pull water out of the ash so that it's dry so that you can start working it to move it.
Could you just remind us why you and so many other folks who've been working on this feel it's so important to actually move that coal ash? Why is that such an important aspect of this?
Yeah. So there's two problems at the site. The first is that it's continually seeping pollution into the Middle Fork. And this, you can see the stained riverbank, the oily layer on that stained riverbank, and it constantly seeping into the river. The other aspect is that the river is a naturally meandering river that erodes from over, you know, long periods of time from one side to the other side of its floodplain. Its floodplain is its domain. And it is rapidly eroding towards those ash ponds. And if it undercuts them, they'll get dumped into the river and we'll have coal ash all the way down to Danville. If we leave it, or even if we put in some armoring, we'd like to see this river protected for generations to come, not some solution that's going to have to be revisited later. And that river is going to meander back and forth between its bluffs on either side. So it will cut any ash. If the ash is left there, it's eventually going to be put into the river. So we really want to see a solution that gets it out of there once and for all so that we know it's going to be safe.
And then again, specifically about the coal ash, what are the things in that coal ash that are so bad for groundwater and the environment, and why?
Yeah, so coal ash contains heavy metals, things like arsenic, boron, chromium, lead. Some ash contains things like selenium, vanadium. It can contain a whole bunch of different stuff depending on where it was burned, where it came from, the technology that it was burned with. And these pollutants are concentrated in the coal ash. So they naturally occur in coal, but when you burn it, what's left over has those pollutants at higher concentrations. And then it's stored in these large impoundments for decades where it's exposed to water. And then those pollutants leach into the groundwater. And then that groundwater migrates towards places like the Middle Fork or off the property of the site. So we have pollutants coming into the Middle Fork at levels above what the US EPA and Illinois EPA have decided are safe thresholds. And we have groundwater polluted at above what the Illinois EPA has decided are safe thresholds. So you know, it's really about protecting the clean water and making sure that those pollutants aren't impacting the river or the wildlife or people.
That's Andrew Rain with Prairie Rivers Network discussing an agreed interim order between the state and Dynegy that requires the company to remove coal ash from retention ponds near the Middle Fork of the Vermilion River. Dynegy's parent company, Vistra, sent us a statement that reads in part, "We are pleased to have reached a tentative settlement pending court approval with the state of Illinois to move forward with environmental protections at the Vermilion plant site." You can read Vistra's full statement and hear a longer version of this interview at illinoisnewsroom.org. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll have partly cloudy skies today, a chance of thunderstorms this afternoon, and a high of 84 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Carolina Garibay. Reporting today contributed by Derek Cantu, Michelle O'Neill, and Vivian Law. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.